Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians, the first chapter. We're going to look briefly at verses 3 through 14. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. While you're turning there, I want to say this. One of my parents' good qualities, actually one of their many good qualities, is that they've always been careful with their money and their physical blessings here on earth. My parents plan and save, and they definitely fit that motto, use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. That's who my parents are. And not unlike many of their generation, my parents can. My parents harvest their own food, and they're very thoughtful, and they contemplate each and every purchase. They're very careful with the blessings God has given them. Because of this, I wouldn't be surprised if at the proper time to find out that my parents have left my brother and I with a small legacy. I'm by no means expecting one, but because of what I know about their character, it just wouldn't surprise me. And if this were to happen, my brother and I would be appropriately grateful and we'd praise them for their foresight and wisdom. Now, a physical inheritance is indeed a blessing. However, what we read about here in Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 14, we read how God has prepared us a spiritual inheritance. And it's the kind of inheritance that just dwarfs what we could ever hope to receive here on earth. And so, when we read through this section, we can see some things. Look at verse 4. We can see that we've been chosen in Him, that's Christ, before the creation of the world. Verse 5 tells us that we've been adopted as sons. Verse 6, we've been freely given grace. Verse 7, offered a redemption. Also in verse 7, we have the forgiveness of sins. We've been given insight in verse 9. In verse 13, we've been marked or we've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so those are some amazing things that God has done for us. But what I really want to focus on today is at the end of both verses, both 12 and 14. Look at 12 and look at 14. You see, we're supposed to acknowledge all these gracious gifts from our Almighty God with this mindset. Note that both verses 12 and 14 read, for the praise of His glory. God has given us all these amazing things, so yes, that we will enjoy them, but He's done that for a purpose, so that we'll take these amazing blessings and in turn praise Him for the praise of His glory. And so, we can easily see how a physical inheritance would just fill our hearts with gratitude and cause us to bless those who put some forethought and put some time into thinking ahead for our provision. But my friends and Christians, do we on a daily basis, do we think to offer praise and thanksgiving to our Father, whose list of spiritual blessings exceeds even our wildest imagination? Do we think to live and to act and to speak for the praise of His glory? And do we do that daily? And if not, my friends, how can we cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving and praise? We've talked at length before about how some people view God as simply their own personal ATM machine. And yet, when was the last time our prayer to God contained only a list of His wonderful attributes and praise for His mighty works? Are we really, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known to God, as in Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 6? Tonight, I'd like to just touch upon and investigate three simple things that we can all do together to consider this week to make sure that our attitude towards God is one of continual praise and thanksgiving, because we are a people who are to be identified for the praise of His glory. Paul does a really good job of demonstrating this here in this first chapter of Ephesians. And so we're going to learn some things from Paul.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about seeking the source first. I've talked about this before, and we all know that we live in a very busy time. It's an interesting age, and it's an age of information, it's an age of technology, and we live in a very busy, busy time, and we're pulled in many different pursuits, seemingly all at once. There's our jobs and our families, there's our possessions, there's our many activities, and all of these things are of some reward, and in fact, some of these things we could say they're from God. Families are a blessing from God. However, we're talking about perspective. And sometimes these things, when we pursue them and make them a priority, they can also lead to an attitude of pride in ourselves and our abilities. And this attitude, when we get the priority wrong, this attitude can diminish our recognition of God's power and God's blessings in our life. And thus reduce our attitude of thankfulness towards God Himself. Again, to clarify, I'm certainly not saying that our families and jobs, our friends are not important. But this is about priority. Those things are good and they're worthwhile and they have reward. They're good, but they're not the top priority. Turn with me to Matthew. You've seen this verse before. Let's just turn here. Go to Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus is talking about priorities. And Jesus says this: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. My friends, I love it when Jesus speaks. This verse's meaning is as direct as it sounds. We are to seek the things of God and His righteousness, His kingdom, as a priority over the things of this world. And Jesus is very clear when He says that we are to honor God with the first of our time, and the first of our money, and the first of our attention. Does this mean that we need to or should neglect our daily responsibilities? To borrow a phrase from Paul, may it never be. But as Christians, there needs to be a difference in our attitude toward them. If we're taking care of God's business as our top priority, if we're seeking His salvation, if we're living in obedience to Him and His Word, and if we're sharing the good news of the kingdom with others, then He will take care of us, and our life will be in alignment with His proper created order. So, my friends, do our lives, do they show this mindset? Do they show this priority? Are we living a life of thanksgiving and praise to God? How can we tell? Well, try asking yourself these three questions. Where do I spend my energy? And where is my time? And where is my money going? And am I spending my life on things and activities that will certainly perish? Or am I spending my life in the service of God, the results of which live on for eternity? It's so important that we don't buy into the philosophy that times have changed, or God understands that I live in the 21st century and times are very busy. Our God, He's a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24 tells us that the Lord your God, He is a devouring fire. He's a jealous God. That means He wants your life. He wants my life. And He wants it exclusively. And that means He must take first place in our life. So many people, we know this, so many people living around us, they're trying to find peace and fulfillment and joy by just stuffing their lives full of material things and possessions. And they're just, we talked about this before, they're settling for the cheap stuff. They're settling for what can be called good instead of what can be called best. Paul details for us here in Ephesians 1:3-14 what is best. Sonship in the kingdom. Grace. Redemption. Forgiveness of sins. So my friends, let's just make sure we've got this priority correct and we're pursuing what is best and eternal by seeking the source of all these blessings, We need to do that so we can start making a habit of bringing praise to our mighty God. A habit. It's a routine of behavior that's repeated regularly. And once it's a habit, it tends to occur unconsciously. Habits are formed when a behavior through regular repetition becomes automatic. And this can take some time. On average, I'm told, habits usually take about 66 days for a new behavior to become a habit. So why am I bringing this up? Paul, he was in the habit of praise and thanksgiving to God. His writings often start out with prayer and praise, such as 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 4, which says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God," how often? "Always. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus." So he often starts out his letters in praise and thanksgiving. In the middle of his letters, he also will just break out into praise and thanksgiving. For example, in Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, which says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And at the end of his letters, he often remembers to pray and to praise and to thank God, such as Romans 16, verse 27, which reads, "To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." So Paul's writings, we can read them, and Paul's writings are habitually filled with prayer and praise and thanksgiving. So what about us? What about our lives? What's the habit of our lives? I'm told scientists believe that every habit that we have, either good or bad, it follows the three same step pattern. And it goes something like this. Reminder, routine, reward. Reminder, routine, reward. Reminder, as in the trigger that imitates the behavior, routine. That's the behavior itself. That's the action that we take. And the reward, that's the benefit that we gain from doing the behavior, reminder, routine, reward. And so, knowing this, we can certainly utilize this pattern to help us make praise and thanksgiving on just a daily part in our life. Reminder. There's several things that we can do to help us remind ourselves to give praise to God, such as getting out sticky notes. I'm a big fan of the sticky note, and writing a scripture on it, and then putting it on the bathroom mirror. I know it's kind of old school. I still do that on occasion. I think it's a really good idea. And why not try something like 1 Corinthians 15, 57? "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Or perhaps a sticky note that reads Psalm 103, verse 2, which says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Sticky note on the bathroom. Or if you're not into sticky notes, then take your Bible and before you go to bed at night, put it on the kitchen table or put it on the counter or put it on the breakfast nook or wherever you're going to go to have your breakfast in the morning. And when you drink that first cup of coffee in the morning, oh, I forgot you're from the Midwest. You don't drink coffee here. All right, whatever you drink in the morning to help get you going, when you do that, read your Bible. Leave yourself a note on your refrigerator. Give yourself some sort of visual cue to remind you to praise God. And of course, put an app on your phone. Put a reminder on your phone. Have it remind you. But the idea is to have some sort of reminder to help you get you in this habit. Routine. Let's talk about routine. One of the best ways to make a habit out of praise is to incorporate it into our daily routine. How is our daily Bible reading coming for the year?
Do we make it a priority in our lives at the same time? Do we try to read our Bible at the same time, whether in the morning or the afternoon or the evening? Do we try to do it at the same time? Do we incorporate it into our routine? Because making it a priority at the same time every day will help us become people of praise. It's just not going to happen by accident. We have to be doing this with careful thought and careful deliberation.
Reward. As human beings, we're known by our habits. For instance, some people can be described as
fighters, gossipers, whiners, manipulators, jokers, workaholics, achievers, go-getters, etc., etc.
And these descriptions, they're formed by noticeable habits of these people.
Now, how wonderful and how rewarding it would be for Christians if others described us as people of praise. They noticed our habits and they said, those are people of praise. I would love to have that moniker. People are drawn to a person who has made praises the habit of his or her heart and mouth. So, my friends, let's all form habits of praising God. So
we can establish the habit of thanking and praising God by creating a reminder, a routine, and a reward.
Counting our blessings.
If we decided to seek the source, and if we set aside some time every day to make a habit of praise, we're well on our way. But what are we going to praise God for?
We know that James, the first chapter, verse 17, James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above,
coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change.
And we also know that passages such as Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, or 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 are a great place to start,
because there the apostles have specifically enumerated these blessings one by one for us.
However, David regularly expressed his thanks and praise to the King of Kings. And we can learn much as Christians from David's excellent example in the book of Psalms, which not coincidentally means praises. Psalms means praises. The book of Psalms is the praise book of the Bible, and it gives us hundreds of reasons why praise is so very important, as well as examples of how to give praise to God.
To get started, we can look at the book of Psalms, and we can thank God for his righteousness and his holiness. Psalm 7, verse 17 reads, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name.
In Psalm 48, verse 10, as your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness.
Of course, there's psalms about God's marvelous works. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds.
And Psalm 66, verses 3 through 4 reads,
say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. I love that. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name.
We can give praise to God for our bodies because God has created them. Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16 reads,
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
And we can pray, we can give him praise for his guidance and his instruction. Consider Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 16, verse 7, which reads, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
In the night also my heart instructs me.
Psalm 48, 13b through 14 reads, tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Psalm 71, verse 17, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. And of course, our salvation. Psalm 71, verse 23.
My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed.
And Psalm 96, verse 2 says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. The book of Psalms is really a song of praises, and it's just full of reasons why we should incorporate praise and thanksgiving for our Almighty God consistently into our lives. And so, keeping these things on the forefront of our mind helps us to live thankfully and to offer God the praise that he so very richly deserves.
Our praise gives him credit because he's due it. One last psalm. It's Psalm 107, verse 8. I don't have it up here. Psalm 107, verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So tonight, we've seen that Paul urges us to read over that list of spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. There are other places that talk about these spiritual blessings. And the idea is not just to glory in the blessings themselves and just to stop there, but to glory in the one who has given us these incredible blessings, because we are to live for the praise of his glory. Paul's life and his letters are a very good example of living to the praise of his glory, and we would do very well as Christians to emulate Paul, because we too can live a life of praise by remembering to seek the source of all spiritual blessings first, to make a daily habit out of praising our Father in heaven and counting our blessings in order to attribute them all to our Almighty God. I'd like to now offer an invitation to become a Christian. The Bible is very explicit when it tells us that we become a Christian by believing in Jesus, by confessing his great name, by repenting of our sin, by being baptized in water as an appeal for a good conscience through his resurrection. We do that for the washing away of sins. We do that calling on his name. If we can assist you to become a part of God's family, then please come forward while we stand and while we sing.